This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast Show 929. What's going on, everyone? This is David Green, your host of the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, here today with Rob Abasolo. Spring is in the air. Love is in the air. And do you know what that means, Rob?
I do. Flowers blooming, bears coming out of hibernation, which honestly makes me feel like a missed opportunity here because I don't wear any of my floral shirts. What was I thinking?
Yeah, you have floral shirts, you have raggedy t-shirts that actually make me look like I dress nice, and then you got your H-Town sweater that I see you wear pretty frequently. But no, we're going to be doing some spring cleaning. So Rob, after today's show, you could go do spring cleaning at your house and find some new clothes. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about how Rob and I are spring cleaning in our real estate businesses. You're going to hear about how I'm optimizing my team, restructuring pieces, out with the old, in with the new, and that goes for business and property so I can get more deals.
Yeah, today's episode is very needed because we are currently looking at our own portfolios today. So I think this is going to be mega valuable for anyone who might be thinking, should I sell this property? Is the juice worth the squeeze? Should I re-optimize this property and try to make more money? I think you and I are sending a lot of properties to the chopping block, so I'm excited to get into it.
That's right. Algorithms are changing. Demand is changing. Business laws are changing. Commissions are changing. There's a ton of change, just like changing with the seasons. So we are going to be making adjustments in our portfolios and businesses that reflect that change and sharing it with everyone today.
All right. Well, let's make like a spring bunny and hop into the episode.
All right. So let's start with business operations. Rob, let me ask you, how often do you evaluate your business operations?
Well, I'll give my answer. I'm excited to give my answer because every single time I answer before you, I realize how incorrectly I do things. So I'm excited to learn not, what not to do. But for me, there's really two key moments when I evaluate these things. Number one is when I make a new hire, because not only am I hiring a new person and I'm having to train them, but I'm always looking under the hood and seeing exactly what I'm training them on and realizing that a lot of the systems and processes in my own company aren't necessarily as concrete as I would like, right? So I feel like, you know, I make several hires a year. I would say at a minimum, I'm looking at things every quarter. And then the other kind of dual aspect of this is every single time I'm thinking about starting a new business, before I start that new business, I always take a step back and say, hey, is it fair to my other three or four businesses to start a new business? And I kind of evaluate from that standpoint. What about you?
Yeah, that's a fair question to be asking. Is this fair to my other businesses? Now, sometimes you make a move that takes attention away from your businesses. Sometimes you add a business that actually creates synergy with the other businesses you have. For me, I'm always thinking about a client. Okay, so I've got a client that wants to buy a house. They come to the David Green team. Well, can we do their mortgage for them also so they don't have to use a stranger? Yep, now the agent and the loan officer are on the same page working for the same goal. Well, can we also help manage their properties? Like, I'm always asking, what can I do to make this process more streamlined and better for the clients? And then I'm also saying, what of my employees that are working in one company could also help in one of the other ones, because they sort of know what's going on with everything. So in my world, the more integrated that we make everything, the better the experience is for the client. But starting a business that's outside of that little circle of trust, you might say, that now takes energy away from the current businesses, which would be the current clients.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this a little later too, but I have the same thought process with buying property as well, because a lot of really good deals have been served up to me. Spoiler alert, there are still good deals out there and it's really hard to turn them down, but I'm looking at my own portfolio and I'm like, it just doesn't make sense to launch something when there's so much disrepair across the entire portfolio. So yeah, I'm always just like, I have shiny object syndrome. I recognize this. And so I really these days try to be very good about taking a step back and just examining what I have. So it does reveal a lot of issues. And I'm curious, in your specific business, where do you think you need some help to operate a little better these days?
Well, for me, the challenge is usually the same, and it's going to be people, specifically leaders. So I always have great ideas, and if I jump in there, I can do it, but you can't do everything. You only have so much energy and so much attention to spread over your businesses, just like with your kids. If you try to have 9 kids at one time, I can guarantee you one of those kids is going to feel like they're not getting enough attention, probably all of them. Well, when that same phenomena happens with properties, what you find is they're productivity goes down. Like you said, they fall into disrepair. They need attention, just like children need attention, just like your fitness needs attention. Everything always needs attention to make it work. And when you get too many of them, even if you have the skills or the knowledge of what to do, you don't have the energy or the time to go do it. So when it comes to my specific situation, the National Association of Realtors was just involved in a lawsuit where they settled, where they agreed to change commission structures. The market in general has shifted dramatically. When interest rates went up, what we saw was that even though home prices didn't necessarily come down, the velocity of which transactions take place went down. So less houses were selling. So now I've got all these employees that work for me that I don't want to have to lay off, but I got to find something else for them to do to keep them busy. So I'll be starting a property management company. We'll be managing properties for other people because that is still a need that has to happen. When it comes to what I need to do that, it's always going to be people. How do you hire a person that if you're not giving them energy or attention all day long, you can still trust that things will get done? Is it similar for you?
You know what? I just made a couple of hires that have actually made life a lot easier for me. It hasn't always been that case. Sometimes you make a hire and it doesn't turn out to be, it ends up being a lot more training than you're anticipating. I actually feel pretty good from the people in my organization standpoint. The biggest flaw or the biggest fault in the crack, the biggest crack in the foundation, if you will, right now is follow-up. I think follow-up is something that all businesses probably lack on overall. But for me, follow-up really, no matter what the business is, whether it's following up with the lead or following up with really the biggest one is in my portfolio. A lot of people get to this point where they buy the property, they do the inspections, they get the appraisal, they get the funding on it, they put the furniture in it, and then they're like, whew, I'm done. And the follow-up is actually just not there. I find that most people set up their properties at like 90 or 95% and they say, okay, well, once it starts cash flowing, I'll go back and I'll do the other 5 to 10% or I'll add this, I'll invest this way and I'll make more money this way. And it never happens. And I've just realized this over the past year visiting my own properties. I'm just like, wow, there's so much that I said I would do that I didn't because I focused on buying more properties. So I think follow-up overall is the death of all businesses. And that's really, for me, the biggest downfall that I feel right now, though it is being worked on. It is something that I recognize and I'm specifically working on right now, but it's just not something I ever, you know, I think people getting to the finish line is is really more common than people actually getting across the finish line, if that makes sense. I'd say here's one of the ways that a lot of short-term rental owners, I mean, I'm sure this will apply to long-term rentals as well, but we get a review from our OTAs, online travel agencies, where people will leave you a review. And then there's a little private section that's privately emailed out to you. And it typically has amazing feedback like, hey, we really liked it. But by the way, all of your Teflon pots are scratched up. And you say to yourself, oh, yeah, let me I'll fix that eventually. And you never do. And then you go and you visit your property. You're like, dang, I forgot about all this feedback. So I think there's so many ways that you can implement systems, but I would place more importance on follow-up in the real estate journey than the actual setup because, you know, the setup is the exciting part. The follow-up is the annoying part.
Yeah, and to be fair, we don't talk about it on podcasts very often. We typically talk about the acquisition, the getting the property, and then it's like, oh, happily ever after. Well, you're in a marriage, Rob. You know, it's not happily ever after. It's work and follow-up and paying attention and giving it energy.
And then it's happily ever after, though.
As long as you keep paying attention to it, that's the idea, right? The story doesn't, in a book, the story ends when the couple gets together. And on a podcast, the story ends when you buy the property. But in practice, the story doesn't end. You are always giving attention to that thing.
All right. Now that we've taken a fresh, honest look at our business fundamentals, we'll move on to how we prune our portfolios right after the break. What's better than low money down? No money down. Now through Rent to Retirement, you can buy a brand new construction turnkey rental property for no money down. Wait, hold on. This can't be right. I need to double check with Zach, Rent to Retirement CEO.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Zach, how the heck are you selling turnkey rental properties for $0 down?
It's not that complicated, Rob. Rent to Retirement has new construction properties up to $20,000 below retail prices. We also have investor loans with rates as low as 3.99% and down payment options as low as 5% or sometimes even zero money down. You get all the cash flow, appreciation, and equity for as little as zero money down. That's an infinite return.
Hold on, wait. Let me get on this before we tell it to the whole Bigger Pockets audience.
Just head to renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com or text REI to 33777. That's REI to 33777 to learn more about how you can get started investing with no money down today.
Get your next new construction property at a steep discount or invest with no money down. Head to renttoretirement.com today. Every lender loves to talk about how easy it is to get a mortgage. Then when it's time to fund your next deal, they ask for your full financials, your blood type, your mother's famous spaghetti recipe, and a map to the fountain of youth. Sound familiar? You got all that handy, right? Why not switch to a lender who actually makes qualifying for a loan easy? A lender like Host Financial.
Host Financial takes the tedious tax returns, endless W-2s, and time-consuming financial requests out of the picture. Their LightDoc and common sense underwriting guidelines mean frictionless transactions every time. You'll even be able to use the actual or projected income of the short-term or long-term rental you're looking to purchase or pull equity out of. That's what lending built for investors looks like. So take the next step and grow your portfolio faster. Visit hostfinancial.com to request a quote in as fast as 60 seconds, which is faster than this ad. If not, it's pretty close. That's host, H-O-S-T, financial.com. Again, that's host, H-O-S-T, financial.com.
Whenever I used to travel, I would get that creeping feeling that I locked my back door. How do I know my property is going to be safe while I'm away? But not anymore, thanks to SimpliSafe Home Security. I'm about to go on a three-week trip to Copenhagen, but am I tripping about my trip? Nope. With award-winning security and peace of mind from SimpliSafe, I don't need to worry. SimpliSafe is a super amazing alarm system that I actually installed in my house myself personally in less than 30 minutes. And there's so much peace of mind knowing that there's something in place to protect my homes, my goods, and my John Mayer shrine. SimpliSafe systems have high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods, indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch night and day, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day. Plus, SimpliSafe professional monitoring agents can even help stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera. Hey, bud, get out of here. It's like that, but it's a lot better, I imagine. And if you buy the system and you don't love it, you can get a full refund with SimpliSafe's 60-day money-back guarantee. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. Right now, get 20% off of any new SimpliSafe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Welcome back, everyone. David and I are here opening up the windows and dusting off the proverbial cobwebs from our real estate investments in order to make sure that they're as profitable as possible. So come on in.
Let's move this and transition into our portfolios. So what do you have going on spring cleaning wise with your assets, Rob?
Ooh, man. Yeah, a lot. Well, I'll say one. I'll follow up here with one thing that was talked about on the show a couple weeks ago. I think it was me, you, and Dave Meyer. Or maybe it was me, you, and Henry Washington, but I was talking about this property that was supposed to be a wholetail. I bought it for $75,000. I was supposed to put in $25,000, and I was going to make like a $10,000 or a $15,000 spread. A wholetail is like a wholesale meets a retail. You know, that's the idea there. And it didn't happen. A lot of people came in, and they're like, yeah, we need to offer you less. And basically, all the offers I got, I was going to lose $5,000. And I was like, oh man, you know, I've never lost money on a deal like that. So my pride just wouldn't let me do it. So I was going to invest $65,000 back into that property and just finish the renovation. And if I did that, I would make between $20,000-$25,000. And you and Henry, or you and David, whoever it was, y'all were like, yeah, just take the $5,000 loss. And I was like, yeah, so I'm moving forward with that. The next time an offer like that comes in, I will take the $5,000 loss and just consider it a victory to get $100,000 back, which I know first world problems as I say that, but I still don't like to lose money. You know, who does?
Well, that's what made you not want to sell it, because you felt like it's a loss, right? I took a $5,000 loss. When I'm looking at your problem objectively, I'm saying you have $75,000 out into the ether doing nothing. You could get $70,000 back to do something with. That looks like a much more simple way of processing it, right?
Yeah, it's So that's I'm moving forward with that. Thank you for the clarity. I'm still a little like, I still want to find what the victory is in this, but my realtor, I told him like, hey, just if you get the offer, take it. So that's one big thing. Sometimes guys, our time is just worth a lot more. And I think ultimately what you're trying to get at with your tip here to me was, hey, don't spend 6 months of your life to make $20,000. You can make $20,000 easier in other methods. And I was like, okay, so duly noted there. The second thing, I am selling one of my Airbnbs. That property is in West Virginia, and it's been breaking even. Sometimes we make a little bit of money, sometimes we lose a little bit of money, but overall, I would say it's a break even. Obviously, the ROI is pretty good when you factor in cost segregation reports and all that good stuff. But, you know, I'm really into this whole thing where I want all of my properties to be like my crown jewel, and I want them all to be beautiful, and I want them all to be inspiring. And truthfully, there is nothing inspiring about that property at all. There's nothing I can do about it. I could add a pickleball court. I could do something, right? Obviously, there are things I could do, but it just doesn't bring me joy. I don't care about it. And you should never own something you don't care about. That's kind of my opinion, especially in the short-term rental space or medium-term rental space. You should be like, they should be your babies. And at scale, I kind of lost sight of that. So I'm cutting that one out. A little bit of a happy story there. I'll make $125,000 on that sale. So, you know, it could be worse.
All right. And you got a third one, right?
I do have a third one, yeah. So I just recently visited one of my Airbnbs in College Station and found that it needed a lot of TLC. When we bought that property, it was a bad flip, and the contractor made it seem like he fixed the foundation, but he didn't. And so it has settled dramatically, and all the drywall cracked. And so we had a handyman come and patch it up. And when I went and visited it, I noticed that the patches hadn't been sanded or painted, and it's been like that for many months, and I was just really mad. And this kind of got me to this whole, like, I love this episode because it makes me understand really my biggest problem, which I talked about with follow-up, and I wanted to kind of illustrate this in an analogy for you. So if you're in a ship, a battleship, as you said, David, if you're at sea and you move 1 degree, you can probably, you know, like, continue on and get to that same destination. But if you keep moving 1 degree, eventually you're completely turned around. And I kind of found this at that property because I walked into every single room, and every single room, the rug under the bed had scooted away from the bed and started curling up against the wall. And all it would take every single time that my cleaner came in was just to pull the rug 1 inch back to its spot. But what the cleaner did was they never did that, and they just let it shift over an inch over the course of a year, to where, like, there's like so much rug just up. Oh my gosh, dude, I hate even talking about this. And so for me, I'm just like, this is the problem with business. When you let your business deviate 1 degree at a time, at a certain point, you're going the opposite direction. And that's how I felt with this property. So we're revitalizing it. I've put $26,000 into the backyard. We've added a pickleball court. We've added like a game day shed with like a big screen TV. We've added murals. And this property will go from being like a so-so moneymaker to, I think, a pretty profitable machine. And I'm really excited about it. That's one where, you know, wasn't excited about it until I went there. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to own that we really didn't love this one as much as we should have. I'm going to fix it. And now I'm excited. And I'm like, all right, we're back.
All right. I mean, there's some trends that I'm seeing here. When you added these properties, the economy was charging along. You wanted to expand your portfolio. You needed to invest some money. You probably had some depreciation that you wanted to take advantage of. Well, now the economy's contracted a little bit. It's a little bit tougher. It's harder to find people that can oversee your cleaners and your handymen and stuff, which means you got to do it yourself, which means you can't do it all. So you have to make some selective choices of, if I have to be the person to oversee this and I can't do all of it, let's trim out the least productive or least fruitful things.
Yeah, let me just say one thing, because a lot of people might hear this and say, well, how are you going to stop the rug from coming up against the wall? We do this with some of our properties, not with all, and now I see the value of doing it. But there are certain apps out there that you can basically empower your cleaner to take photos of the property, of every single room, every single bathroom, every single toilet, bathtub, to basically keep them accountable on every aspect of the property, so that whenever they send you photos and you see the rug up against the wall, you would say, hey, can you go fix that rug? And we didn't have that process in place for this property. Lesson learned. So that is basically how we're going to be turning around the accountability and the communication between me and my cleaner.
I'm curious, when you hear people say this and someone DMs you that goes, Rob, all you got to do is have somebody take a picture of the property and send it to you. And you're like, I know, but that means somebody on my team has to look at the pictures, and then they may just be ignoring the 1 inch rug that's moving along. How do you typically address that criticism or those concerns from people that can see how the problem should be solved, but they don't understand the complexity of why it never gets solved?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot you can do other than explaining that most cleaners are, like, you know, really, they're wonderful people, but they really do the thing that you hire them to do, and that's clean. And they're not necessarily proactive about, hey, this side table is loose. They're not going to really tell you that. And so I don't know, like, it's one of those things that you fix in hiring. It's really difficult to fix this retroactively. This is not something you can just tell your cleaner, hey, can you now start spending 10 to 15 minutes extra at every job? It's really hard to do that. And so actually, this could be the third fire that I make ever. I actually have let go of some cleaners. So if that counts, then I might be letting go of those cleaners as well. Sometimes you got to start fresh.
Good deal. And that's okay. That's how business goes, right? Like a human body is always having new cells form and dead cells die and come off. Well, your business will work the same way. There'll be new hires. There'll be new properties. There'll be new clients. There'll be new opportunities. And then there'll be old ones that have to make their way out.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but stick around because we've got more for you right after the break.
We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. All of us wish we had more time in the day, but if time was unlimited, what would you spend it doing? Having trouble? Therapy can help. With therapy, you can find what matters most to you and do more of it. Therapy can help you discover what you really want out of life and what your true priorities are. It's more than just talking about trauma or tough times. It can help empower you to accomplish more with less stress and more clarity. The best place to try therapy? BetterHelp. BetterHelp is entirely online. That means it fits your schedule and flexibility, and you don't have to drive through traffic to see your therapist. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BP. You've heard us talk about it before. High interest rates are crushing real estate investors, leaving even some of the best investors in need of funding now. But with today's liquidity crisis, who can fill the demand? With Fundrise, America's largest direct-to-investor alternative asset manager, you have the opportunity to. Fundrise's new opportunistic private credit strategy was designed specifically for this new market environment. Fundrise supplies high-demand bridge financing on high-quality assets with creditworthy borrowers. Top real estate investors get the funding they need while you walk away getting paid a healthy interest rate. To date, Fundrise has completed more than $500 million worth of private credit deals with an average net interest of 10.8%, and they've already amassed a pipeline worth more than $300 million. Don't sit on the sidelines. You can take advantage of this unique window of opportunity while it lasts with Fundrise's new private credit strategy. Ready to start? Go to fundrise.com/pockets to learn more. That's FUNDRISE.com/pockets. This is a paid endorsement for Fundrise. Past performance is not indicative of future results. All investments can lead to loss. The dream of owning a vacation home can be daunting, from finding the best guests, to the maintenance, to organizing the cleaners after every guest day. With Vacasa, they make that dream into a reality. As a full-service vacation home management company with vacation homes in key destinations across the U.S., they know a thing about how to make owning a vacation home easy and profitable. On top of proactive property maintenance visits by professional local teams, a hospitality-driven booking platform, and around-the-clock support, Vacasa earns homeowners an average of 20% more revenue from their vacation homes. Vacasa is always thinking of ways to simplify the vacation home owning experience by putting your home to work for you. If you're looking to make more from your vacation home, work with the reliable property manager, and finally have peace of mind, partner with Vacasa at Vacasa.com/BiggerPockets. That's Vacasa.com/BiggerPockets.
Welcome back to the show. Let's get right back into it. So tell us about your side of the portfolio. Are you making any big changes? I know you've I mean, it seems like this whole year has been, you know, spring cleaning for you, but is there anything of notoriety that you want to talk about?
This is the biggest, deepest spring clean that I've ever experienced in my life.
It's a deep clean. That's what it is.
Deep clean. Before this, I've sold maybe like one or maybe two properties my whole life. I hardly ever sell them, but my portfolio grew very rapidly a couple of years ago, maybe like a year and a half ago, when I was forced into a 1031 because of some title fraud issues where properties were stole from me. And I had to go buy a whole bunch more. And that happened at the same time that the David Green team was crushing it and the one brokerage was crushing it. And I was just super busy trying to do all this. So now that the dust has settled and the economy has contracted a little bit, I'm just looking at some of the properties and like, yeah, there's some winners, there's some okay ones, and then there's some losers. So like you said, you're just trimming the fat. So I have two cabins in the Smokies that I bought at the very beginning of a 1031. I did it at the advice of a property manager that was less than ethical that I'm trying to get rid of now. And they're just not performing well. The property manager was managing them themselves and they were like, hey, I got an opportunity to get some off-market deals. I was just learning the Smoky Mountains. So I said, hey, the numbers sound good. Well, the numbers did not perform like they said. And there's some challenges with like steep driveways and stuff that make it tougher to rent them out. Like it's just not something I'm going to be able to fix. So I'm getting those spruced up and I'm going to sell those two cabins in 1031 into like one cabin instead of having two that will be better and more expensive. But now that I know the area better, I'll make a better decision. I've just got more knowledge to be able to reinvest that money. I've got a commercial property that I'm going to be selling. I have a big burr that I was doing where I took this property in an amazing community on the top of a hill and I added to it and I made it nicer. And the city has been giving me a very difficult time getting short-term rental permits for the thing. So it forces me to go medium term and it's been working okay, but I'm not really getting enough going to justify this $3 million property. So that's a property that I'm going to be selling instead of keeping as a burr, which is the wonderful part of the burr method. When you add equity to a property, you have options in case things don't work out like they happen to not work out here. And then I've got five single family rentals that I've had for years. They're fine. The rents haven't really kept pace with how much the equity has grown. So I've got a spreadsheet that I use to track all my properties and it tracks the return on equity and the return on investment of future properties. And I can tell the return on equity is really low on these things. I could get a much better ROI if I reinvested into better assets that I now have knowledge of. So I'll probably at some point this year be selling five of my single family rentals that are just like, they're just not that sexy anymore. There's nothing wrong with them.
Well, they rarely are.
Yeah. But I think that I can put the equity to use somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fine. I think that's okay. I did a video this week that was like, you know, short-term rentals versus long-term rentals, which should you choose? And I made the case for long-term rentals. They're not sexy. They just consistently, and you'll have like really great wealth when you retire. Let me ask you this. For someone in your position where you're at today, you've seen it all. You've really tried a little bit of everything. When you get rid of those five single family residences at your level, are you replacing them with more single family residences or are you like replacing them with one property that's worth the same as those five properties?
Yeah, it's the second. I basically, okay. This is a strategy I teach other people. There's nothing wrong with it. It's actually a healthy part of the cycle. And I just call it houses to hotels. I'm trading four small greenhouses for one big red hotel. And it could be a commercial property or it could be a short-term rental or it could be something else. But yeah, I'm not going to go buy four more properties. I'm probably going to buy one property that's four times more expensive that will bring in more revenue and have more opportunities to force equity.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that's the natural progression, right? Scale or fail. And I think scaling accordingly into consolidating and having like one thing versus 20 things that make up the same thing. I think that's where I'm moving to. I sold that property in West Virginia thinking like, wow, I've never sold property. I hate doing that. But you know, what I didn't talk about was that I'm actually building three new brand new homes in Joshua Tree, California, because that fulfills my creative spirit. They're more expensive. They're $500,000+ homes. And I'll just get a lot more out of those properties and that equity. So yeah, I think caveat, I'm glad you said that. I'm selling these to move into bigger properties too.
Sweet. And that is how it works. And you know what? Hopefully these new properties we buy will cash flow, we'll save the cash flow. We'll then reinvest that money into maybe single family rentals in the next up and coming area, buy ourselves a fixer upper that needs some love, force some equity, buy some equity, getting in at a good price. When that property appreciates to a point that there's a bunch of equity, then you do the same thing. So you trade houses to hotels, you take the cash flow from hotels, you buy more houses. When those grow, you trade those into hotels and you put yourself a nice, steady, consistent method of acquiring real estate until retirement.
Hey, before we close out, why don't we just end on this? Do you have any spring cleaning or anything in your own personal life that's not necessarily so businessy or real estate related?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be moving. I think I'm probably going to be leaving California at some point here. So I'm figuring out what it would look like to put some of my stuff in storage, rent out my primary residence. I haven't needed it. It's like a 2,600 square foot house. I bought it as a foreclosure in 2013, and it's just been me living in it for most of the time. Uh-huh. Occasionally, I'll have employees that come will rent rooms for me when they come learn the business, and then they'll fly back to wherever they live, but I'll probably make that a rental and then take a room or a unit in one of my other California properties that I do medium-term rentals with. I'll just like set aside one of them and say, I'll keep all my stuff there for when I come back to California. And I'm going to be moving. I'm going to go check out the South and the Midwest and see what's cracking over there.
Wow. Dang. Talk about a casual thing to drop at the end of the episode. I can't wait to read these YouTube comments. Good. Get out of California. Okay. Well, that's much cooler than what I was going to say. I was going to say, I've got a vehicle that I'm getting rid of, and my wife and I are thinking about going to a one car household because I drive 3,000 miles a year and it's not, I walk most places. So I think we're going to be a one car household.
Is the reason that you walk so much because of this obsession you have with getting steps in?
Well, that is part of it. But it's more so my dream has always been to live in a place where it's walkable to everything. So I can walk to the bodega to get a haircut. Yes, I do get haircuts for all the YouTube haters out there. I walk anyway, so I don't need a car. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it for 6 months and walk and Uber everywhere.
All right, folks, well, there you have it. Spring cleaning in our businesses, in our portfolios, and in our personal lives. We're sharing it with you. Let us know in the comments on YouTube. Are you going to be doing any spring cleaning? Has this show inspired you to take action? Were you sitting on a property that's losing money, but your pride and ego just won't let you let it go? And Rob, as the trailblazer of real estate that he is, has finally given you the confidence to let go of that problem child and replace it with something better? If so, let us know, because Rob's ego really needs to find some gleaming hope or positive thing in this terrible deal that he's losing $5,000 on. That's funny. If this was recorded in like the 1800s, that might sound like a terrible thing, but like $5,000 is
he's gonna go bankrupt. While someone's playing harpsichord in the background.
And if you appreciated Rob pulling back the curtain and showing you some of the warts in our own portfolios and lives, please do us a favor and leave us a good review wherever you listen to podcasts. And subscribe to this podcast so that the algorithm knows that this is what you want to see. I'll let you guys get out of here. This is David Green for Rob, the Walkathon Abasolo, signing off.
The market is changing, and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom, and the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
BiggerPockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.